Friends, a warm welcome to you this morning as we join in this traditional service of nine lessons and carols. Once we begin, we will run uninterrupted and unannounced. You can follow along in your order of service. I would remind our readers to come forward during the preceding item so you can lead us immediately into the readings. So friends, now as those wise men did when they came before the Lord Jesus, I invite you one and all to join in worshipping him, not only with your lips, but in your lives. Please remain seated as Eleanor introduces our first carol, and be ready to join in and stand in verse 2. Thanks. Please be seated, and I would invite you to bow in prayer. This prayer will be followed by the Lord's Prayer, which you'll find in your program. Lord God, in this Christmas season when our world expects and demands that we put on a face of rejoicing, we acknowledge even at this point that we live in a groaning world, surrounded so often by loss and profound sadnesses of our own, confronted by evil of events that have unfolded in Queensland through the week, reminded afresh of the darkness that so easily takes root in the hearts of humanity. Deepen our sense, we pray, of our world's need for the light of Christ, not simply as a reason to party and consume, but as the light of hope and real comfort. For the sense that he brings of a life beyond this life, of a kingdom beyond what we can see and hear and touch, of a justice that transcends the injustice all around us, of a glory that shines most brightly through humility and service. And so in this Christmas season, most especially, we pray in the words our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The first lesson is from Genesis chapter 3, reading from verses 8 to 15. The disobedience of Adam and Eve and the fall from grace. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
The prophet foretells the coming of the Saviour. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has the light shone. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thanks be to God.
The peace that Christ will bring is declared. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, the faithfulness and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
The shepherds go to the manger. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his hometown. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
Thank you. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
I don't want to be a Christmas pedant, which is almost worse than the Grinch. But it's interesting we sing about three kings. We just heard about them from the choir. We sing that other carol, We Three Kings. Literally, they're magi. Sometimes we call them the three wise men. We put them on Christmas cards and in shop windows. Or at least we used to. This year it's Disney. Although interesting, in the actual biblical account, there is no mention of the actual number of magi or wise kings that there were. These mysterious figures from the east who have been following the star, we are not ever told the number. It may have been 2 or 5 or 17. Just look back again at the last reading, or you can see for yourself on the screen, Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Nowhere does it say there were three of them. But I guess because there are, of course, three little pigs, three blind mice, stories seem to work better when things come in threes. That's what the carols and the Christmas cards have decided. Who am I to argue? Likewise, do you realise there is no actual innkeeper in the original account slamming the door in their face? Go back and read it. We've invented him, made him up for our pageants. Now, that's no big deal when you think of all the other fun add-ons Christmas has picked up along the way, like elves and reindeer and bobsleds and bells, and, of course, consumerism. But a reminder that sometimes it's good to come back to the very source and especially to focus our attention on the coming king that all our earlier readings this morning have foreshadowed. The king these wise men have come looking for, regardless of how many wise men there were. The central truth that hasn't been made up, the essence that lies under all the added Christmas decoration. We heard earlier from the prophet Isaiah that one day blessing would come, peace, justice, righteousness, that one day a light would shine in the darkness. And now in our final reading from John's Gospel, that light dawns, a light that can't be quenched or overcome, no matter how dark the darkness. Technology in the last few years has developed the blackest black paint you could ever imagine. They call it Vantablack, and it's made from carbon nanotubes, and it is astonishingly black. And yet, if you paint a room with Vantablack and then light a candle in the room, light still always wins. In fact, it just looks brighter. Now, that is the nature of the king the wise men came to worship. Later, his disciple John says, having known him and walked with him and watched him and listened to him, he says, my conclusion is that he is nothing less than God himself in human flesh. The very logic of the universe, the logos, the word that became one of us and gives light to our dark world, regardless of how dark the darkness. So listen to these words about the incarnation, the coming in flesh of King Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, maker of the universe and ruler of all, we thank you at the appointed time all your promises to mankind through the prophets, through angelic messengers, through your scriptures, finally found their fulfillment in the birth of this child, humble, laid in a feed trough in a stable, destined for death on a cross, though a light still unquenchable in the darkness. We pray that in this Christmas season you would bless us and those we love with good things. But more than that, we ask that you would speak to our hearts by your Spirit and prompt us to ask each one of us what it might look like to truly worship that one as the wise men did. Give us that wisdom too, we ask, in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Friends, again, thanks for joining us this morning. I hope you've noticed that the new edition of our magazine, The Leaflet, is out today. They're spread around the seats. Please take one and one for a friend. The perfect Christmas gift if you've missed out on your Christmas shopping. Also, if you're visiting, please do drop us an introduction card to say hi. We'd love to hear from you and be in touch. Now, there is more to come this Christmas at Scott's. Christmas Eve, 11:30 p.m. for the Night Owls. Then next Sunday, Christmas Day, at the earlier than usual time of 10 a.m. Please join us then. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.